10.
What's the time? All right, it's time for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. From the class of 1994, I'm the host with the jokes, Dauber. And from the class of 1998, he's the analyst with the attention to detail. And my little brother, Sammy D.
What up, Dauber?
Sammy D, welcome in. I played this sample and I realized it's not mixed right, I don't think. But wait, where did
it? It was old school. I, you know, I heard a lot of, you know, John Rooney.
I can't hear you.
I got that already. Okay.
We're already.
Wait, here we go.
That's second half of the show.
You take a listen to a podcast, and the podcast is called
The Two Ramblers.
It's a lot of laughs.
Well, you know, that's entertaining.
You know, that's entertaining.
Ed
Farmer, Coach K.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to figure out what's my take, you know, the right out of the gate.
What's your take? Take on what?
I mean, just overall, coming out of the A-10 tournament, not what we planned. I was reminded of a podcast we did last year. I don't know if you remember this, but there was many a time, okay, or there was one time in particular, where a lot of fans were in the dumps. And you took it upon yourself to say, hey, we need to reframe our perspective. And you said, let's not measure the gap. We're going to measure the gain. Brought to us by
Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Harding. Yes.
Let me just
for people who are not
refresh.
Listening to the Two Ramblers podcast multiple times.
Yes,
the idea is, a lot of times even successful people will feel bad about their performance, or they'll have this negative attitude, and it's because they are looking at the goal and they're measuring what still hasn't happened. And the problem is, in a lot of times in life, there's always more things to accomplish. There's more money to make. There's more wins to have. There's more, right? Success is never quite good enough. And so when you have that mindset, you're always feeling like you're not quite where you want to be. A more positive mindset that helps you really build and take ownership and make changes is to look at where you started to where you got to. And so if you measure this season, if you just measure the season based on like not making the tournament or not winning the A-10 tournament, you're going to feel really bad about this season. If you look at this season in its whole and really measure all the steps we did moving from, you know, worst to first, that type of thing, that's where you're starting to measure the gains. What were the gains this year? How might the things that we learned this year help us for bigger success in the future? That type of thing.
Exactly. And that's my take, is this was a huge gain year. And I love having that perspective because it makes me realize it's like we gained a lot as a fan base, as a team, you know, as Coach Drew even mentioned, it grew as a coach. And so it's just like how much more the richer next season, or even what we still have left in front of us with the NIT. And so it just really made me have a different perspective, you know, in the after or the evening of Thursday and into the weekend, and was definitely, you know, wasn't sad that they lost, or in the sense of like, oh, you know, but just of like, yeah, sad they lost, but yet also just like, hey, well, what a season we had. I think your text or your tweet over the weekend, you know, showed that, and it just
what tweet was that?
The love, if it's not love or whole of the hearts or the hurt one or the, what was the,
I think it was, if losing, I don't know, wait.
Sorry. Oh my gosh. Horrible. Pulling it up.
It's a mashup. It's like a C.S. Lewis quote that I kind of mashed up into a basketball quote. Yeah, this is great content.
Why love if losing hurts so much?
Yes.
It's worth it. Hell of a season.
Yeah.
That, and then you saw Drew taking the video or the GIF from the Braden Norris montage.
Yeah. Why love if losing hurts so much? And it's C.S. Lewis talking about the death of his wife. So I kind of made it into a thing, but you know,
about the Ramblers.
Well, and he goes but on.
The sentiment is true for us as Ramblers fans, because there's been no one that I have seen in loyaldom Twitter that's like, wasn't hurting after that result. And to realize that, yeah, we love this team because this represents us. They represented, you know, the script well.
Yeah.
And yes, they fell short, but
I just was
so much of what we gained this year was awesome.
Well, and I definitely was feeling, I was feeling kind of the loss of some of these players, you know, these seniors and stuff.
Yes.
Kind of thinking, was that the last game I saw them, you know? And, you know, I mean, I don't want to be maudlin here, but it was kind of like, wow. Just, you know, the thing about the St. Bonnie's game wasn't that they lost. The thing about the St. Bonnie's game was how they lost, the way that it kind of painfully ended.
Exactly.
It is why, you know, it'd be one thing if it was back and forth. Remember the Michigan State loss at the Bahamas? Mm-hmm. You know, where we lost on the last possession, and you're like, we were in it the whole game, and you're like, oh, Michigan State beat us, but we get it. You know, we ran with them the whole time.
Right.
You know, I could accept that loss. This is the kind of loss where you start looking at every stat line. You were probably doing that this morning with the stat sheet. You look at every stat line and you're like, oh my gosh, if this one thing was slightly different, it would have been a whole different ball game.
Yeah, the one minute stat that stuck out to me about that game is the fact that Braden Norris was 0-for-1 from the free throw line because he missed the front end of a 1-and-1, and just of like maybe 1 point, maybe 2 points, you know, changes the dynamic of the game. And just like, wow, that's just crazy to think about.
Yeah. And it's tough to pick out any stat out of context. And, you know, I mean, cause even an 80, you know, even a 90% free throw shooter misses 1 out of 10. So it's not like, you know, that could have been his 1 out of 10.
Yeah,
exactly. It just happened. It was on a front end of a 1-and-1 that led to a score for the Bonnies. So instead of, you know, +2, it was a -2 possession potentially. Right. So anyway, yeah, it's tough.
A-10 tournament. I'm loving it. Wow, what an ending. You there? I don't hear you.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. There. Okay.
Okay.
The devil's in the details.
That's got to be your favorite.
Oh, Sammy D, how bad is it, buddy?
You know what? It's good. Because Ian would say God is good all the time. So, yeah, we're good.
Oh, I just unmuted you again accidentally. Sorry. What were you saying about God? Anyway, I went to the A-10 tournament, not like you asked. And of course, I was doing my part-time job as Slew the Dark Lord, you know, just really causing chaos with the the St. Louis Billikens. And, yes. You know,
I saw they finally let Travis.
Well, hold on. Don't jump to the exciting part. Okay,
all right, I'm sorry.
No, I don't know if you saw this, but I let them win a game. I kind of monkeyed with their first game to give them a little bit of hope so I could just snatch it back. And then they fired Travis Ford, and now it's all in a rebuild, and so it's going to be another few years of misery. So, yeah, loving it, yeah. But, you know, what happened is they lost that second night, and then, you know, I tried to be good, but I got bored. And so I popped over to this St. Bonnie's game. What's a Bonnie, by the way?
I have no idea.
I mean, yeah, what's a Bonnie? They have doo-doo brown uniforms. I mean, it's like, what is this team? I don't even know where they're from. Are they from New Jersey? Where are they?
Upstate New York.
Yeah, okay. even I don't go there. So, yeah, wow, you guys missed 50 shots. That usually is not you don't usually circle that one.
Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster. So, man, did we really lose? Yeah, we missed 50 shots. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I thought the double overtime was a nice touch. It really extended the pain.
Yes, and the fact that we were 0-for-4 from 3 in both overtimes or combined. Yeah. Yikes. Not gonna help.
Anyway, yeah, it was a kind of a disappointing end for you guys. And then, you know, that night I kicked back in my hotel room in Brooklyn and watched a little Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour on Disney Plus. I was using your hacked password for your Disney Plus account. By the way,
I was wondering why something came up that saying my account was being used. Now I know why.
So, by the way, Sam.
You're welcome, Lou, by the way.
Could you upgrade to the HD package? I mean, come on. Standard definition is kind of painful. You know, I really need like a 4K when I'm watching Taylor. Anyway, you know what hell is?
I don't know. What are you going to tell me?
You know, hell is that 10-minute song, that All Too Well song. I think it's about Jake Gyllenhaal. Now, that's hell. I think it. You know, we have a room in hell just where that song just plays on a loop for people. Actually, if Jake Gyllenhaal joins us at some point, that's the room he'll go to. He'll just have to listen to that song. Oh, I kid. No, I don't. I'm serious. Anyway, well, so hold on. I was going to say one more thing. For a little extra devilish fun, I put you on the road against Bradley in the NIT. I can't hear you.
I did think that was kind of funny. A team is the third or fourth in the Valley is hosting the co-champs of the A-10. Yeah, pretty.
Yeah, it's comical. Like, boy, it's kind of like when that guy goes to college for a couple of years and comes back and takes a girl to his high school prom.
You know, high school prom. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's like you're that guy. Oh boy, and how bad would it be if you lost on the road to Bradley to finish your season? That's poetic that I couldn't even conjure up that. That's well, next level.
I don't think that's gonna happen. I think Rambert's gonna pull it out. But I did find it ironic that Duquesne won the A-10 tournament, you know, the team that you that's how we first found out about you after the Duquesne Loyola game last season, where the gentleman jumped onto the court with the McDonald's bag. So, yeah, I found that a bit of irony.
I'm loving it. Yeah, I'm going to throw the Ramblers off by just letting a DoorDash guy walk on the court mid-game. So good. Wonderful. One of my best.
Yes. So you got plans for the tournament? Who's your team? What are you looking? Who are you rooting for? I mean, because I know Duke is there, and then I saw that your favorite team, the Blue Demons, they got a new coach. So any other basketball things you want to share with us?
Not really. Once you guys kind of pitter out for the season, I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably move on and start thinking about, the Bears. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I think I'm going to hit the music and count my money. So let's get out of here. Do-do-do. I'm loving it. Let's go, Braves. Let's go, Braves. Let's go, Braves.
Wow, boy, I didn't expect that. And
Rod Lou triumphantly returning to rub salt in the wound.
Yeah, like I thought we had kind of exercised him, this season. We only heard from him like twice because we didn't lose in conference.
And we didn't have multiple losses in a row, so
yeah, right. Yeah, there were times where he might have showed up. But then we had a big win in the second half of the week. And so it's kind of like, well, you can't do the bet now. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh. Wasn't Bradley the team when they came, if I remember right, from that podcast from a couple seasons ago, where the pack of wolves or the band of wolves was playing, Rock and Roll Part 2 or something. And Bradley had a cheer for that or something, and you're like, shut it down. I don't know. It just stuck out to me as you were saying, let's go.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In our first season, first season of two Ramblers, we get to conference, and if you remember that season, that's the season where we're
going to run it back.
Well, no. That's the season where I think we went into overtime against Valpo and Bradley.
Yes.
And so we had these games at the Gentile where we had these crazy back and forth games. I think in the Valpo game, we were down 4. And I want to say Lucas shot a 3, made it, and got fouled. It was like a 4-point play. I mean,
there were
some crazy things that happened. And in the Bradley game, what was happening a lot was Rambler fans were kind of sitting on their hands, and the corners were full of Bradley fans.
Yes.
And so they were cheering. And I'm still looking for the perfect section to sit in. I was actually sitting in a section right by the corner with almost no Loyola fans. And I felt like I had to actually cheer for the Ramblers against this onslaught of people. And so when we started coming back, that's when I started cheering.
I can't hear you.
I mean, I was like doing like the Hulk Hogan to the corner and went because they were getting more anxious because I think they had a lead in that game. And then we kind of worked our way back into that game.
Yes.
And then they got quieter. But there was a point where Band of Wolves started playing, da, 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 let's go, Braves. Let's go. They had this, like, let's go, Braves chant in it. And I was just kind of upset with the Band of Wolves because I'm like, when I hear, because there was no Loyola chanting at all.
Right. Everyone's on their hands. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Let's put a button on the Bonnies game. By the way, there was one thing I wanted to point out that, and I've talked about this season. And again, I'm rooting for all these guys. They're I love this team. I think when this team ends, I know we've had lots of great teams, but this is a team that I think I'll remember for a long time because there's just some characters on this team that I just think are great. And and I love their attitudes. I love rooting for them. So that being said, there was a couple things that happened in the first half, even though we were starting to have a lead, that concerned me. And one of them was careless turnovers by Miles. There was at least one or two where we where we got the big rebound, the defensive stop, and then turned the ball over. And it was just like, if we just waited one more second. For Charles Pride to run by, we would have maintained the possession. And then there were a couple times at the top of the key where he was getting the ball and, you know, it must
and
have been
slap at it and the ball pops out. Yeah.
It must have been in the scouting report. Hey, this is a time when the ball is a little vulnerable, when Miles is at the top of the key. And,
agreed.
And other teams maybe just like just gave him a pass or were worried about other parts of our offense. But when I think when our when some of our outside shooting isn't doing as well, then I think other teams get a little more aggressive. And and so Miles struggled with the ball a couple of times, and he did have five turnovers, which is crazy because he's not a point guard. He's not it's, I mean, that's a lot of turnovers in 20 minutes for a guy who potentially is passing the ball every once in a while and rebounding, you know, it's, you know, so that kind of concerned me seeing those early turnovers. And I remember thinking kind of a gut punch in the stomach, like, oh man, I hope that doesn't come back to hurt us. So that, I mean, that's the only thing I remember seeing happen that kind of made me concerned. The other one was, I know Dame missed eight shots, and I feel like some of them were just right there.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Miles did as well. There were a couple that Miles missed that were right there.
Yeah. And I remember, one of the most painful things about the Pittsburgh game against Ohio State when we shot 30%, kind of similar to last night, was I remember feeling like the ball was going up to the hoop just a little harder than it should. Like, I don't know if it's these, tournament hoops, you know, like in Skokie, you know, which is a, known as a great basketball powerhouse in the North Shore here. You know, all the Park District rims are like double rims and they're super tight.
Yeah.
If you don't put that ball perfectly in the cylinder, it's bouncing 10 feet above the hoop when it comes out. Right. And so you have to do really crisp layups to get the ball in. Floaters are very difficult in Skokie. Cause if you hit that rim at all, bam, it's out. And I'm not saying it was like that, but it definitely felt like when we're at point blank range and the ball is hitting the rim and popping out, I'm just like, oh my gosh, it reminds me of that Ohio State game where it was just like, you know, and they said this in the broadcast that the Bonnies got to play the night before, and yes, they were tired maybe, but they had gotten acclimated to the hoops, which...
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at what happened in the tournament, all of the top four seeds that all had the double bye, everyone talked about the double bye, double bye, double bye, and how much of an advantage that was. All of them lost to teams that played on Thursday night, or sorry, Wednesday night. And I'm kind of wondering if there's going to be an adjustment moving forward for the A-10, where I don't think the A-10 wanted that.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to change things where it's, you know, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, the day off. So then the double bye teams get a chance to be in the building.
Yeah,
to then do the quarterfinals.
Well, I heard that they didn't get to practice in that
place. Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, come on, really?
Yeah, which I don't understand that at all.
And let's say we're a two big league this year. We could have been a one bid league if Dayton won it all.
Right.
Very, very possibly. And if the A-10 likes that, fine. But otherwise, if they don't like that, what does the regular season mean now? Like when you have the co-champs go out in game one of the, and then you had the other two teams, the other 3 and 4 seed. It's like, well, what's the regular season mean?
Yeah.
It'd be one thing, you know, wasn't there a time where we got like 5 or 6 teams in the NCAAs? Wasn't there a multi-bid year? There,
a number of years ago, I'm now blanking on the year that was. I want to say it was a while back. I want to say like early aughts, like 06, 07 era.
I mean, it would be one thing if we were in that era, then it would be like, okay, yeah, the regular season in the A-10 is really important. But boy, if the regular season in the A-10 only turns into one at-large bid.
Right.
And then this, you know, AQ, and if they're not if they're the same team, it reminds me of being back in the Valley.
Yeah, sadly.
I mean, look at Indiana State. I can't believe that they didn't make it in the tournament. It's kind of like, well, and I'm sure there's a team you could point to that's a middling Big Ten team that shouldn't be there.
Virginia. Well, they're the team that's like, everyone says they were one of the last ones to get in, and everyone thought they shouldn't have got in. Indiana State should have got in, but
yeah. And again, back with this NIT net stuff, or not NIT. I mean, this net Ken Pom stuff. Again, it just, even when I was looking at the, you know, did you see Xavier is in the NIT? They have a losing record. Did you see that? Really? Yeah.
I did not.
They were like 17 and 18 or something. Am I wrong?
I'm looking. Yeah, 16 and 17.
Yeah, 16 and 17. Well, how are they playing in anything?
Yeah, I don't
understand. That right there, I guarantee.
And they're hosting. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, all right. They're hosting. Yeah, they're the one seed. No, you know that has to do with metrics. That there's no way a normal tournament.
Hold on a second. Yes, I agree on surface, but I think the NIT was somewhat hamstrung because there were a few teams, i.e., Oklahoma, Pitt, St. John's, who would have easily slotted in there, and Xavier would not have gotten in. But because those teams opted out and said, we're not going to play, if it's either NCAAs or nothing. And those teams were 21 teams. So it's like, you know, that's who would have taken that slot. Yeah, because look, I mean, Xavier's playing Georgia, and they're 17 and 16.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Right. So it's kind of ridiculous. You know, and I hate to say it, but you know, if these teams keep doing this, it's going to diminish any value in the NIT, and it's going to keep putting pressure on the NCAAs to keep putting Power 5 or Power 6 teams in the thing. And so, you know,
which going back to the argument about the A-10 tournament, they would have benefited. A Richmond would have benefited by winning that quarterfinal game, getting to the semifinals and playing VCU, or getting to the finals and playing, you know, a Dayton or a Loyola again, because that would have been a quad one game or a quad two game. But because they lost to, you know, St. Joe's in that quarterfinal game, then it misses that opportunity for, you know, a potential of one or two more wins, and how much that would have boosted their resume. And the same for, you know, Loyola, and not so much for Dayton, but I know Loyola, I think Loyola would have benefited from two more wins.
Loyola would have Loyola would have benefited from winning a couple games in the non-con.
Yes.
When our net was higher.
Right.
You know, the problem that I'm seeing now is once you start to drop, it's hard to climb back up. It's easier to stay high
yes.
than to drop and climb back in.
Exactly.
So I don't know what that goes forward to the strategy. Like, one thing I was wondering about in the non-con is I felt like we were trying to shore up our rotation. Like, you know, who's going to start? Who's coming off the bench? You know, first time out, who's coming in, that type of thing. And I'm just wondering if we need to figure that out during our Goshen State game or during our
Central
Trinity Christian game.
Yes. What I find fascinating is in the last 2 weeks of the season, everyone was lauding the depth, which we were lauding the whole year. But I don't think it really solidified itself until Jaden went down with the injury and then Sheldon comes in. Because up to that point, Sheldon hadn't seen any time. And it wasn't until the St. Louis game that he started, you know, getting in. And then when Jaden comes back, then Sheldon's had more minutes and was more. Then it was the 11 or 10, 11 man rotation. Where up to that point, it was maybe 8 or 9.
Well, I think Sheldon definitely, you know, made a good opportunity. Took you know, had that great 2-game series
in the DMV.
In the DMV from the nation's capital. I just
yeah, but so good to talk to you. Love
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
When are you coming to the district?
Love it. But when, I mean, obviously, the guy that you point to when you look at the depth is Dame, like how dangerous he was in different games coming off the bench. But you bring something up that also was a gut punch. As much as those kind of sloppy Miles turnovers were in the first half, when they pan to the team and I see Jaden in sweatsuits, and in a sweatsuit, I'm just like, I know
that was not good.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. I heard he was sick or something, but it's just like,
hello,
what, you're here?
I think
he froze. I think he
froze. Did I lose you? Oh no!
I think he froze. I'm gonna have to mute him because he doesn't know he's on. You're still on. You never stop.
I never. Okay. It's like, oh no.
Anyway, what I was gonna say is when Jaden.
Yes, Jaden was in sweats.
When he was in sweats, I was just like, this is the time where we need the solid rotation, everyone hitting on the same cylinders, you know?
Exactly.
And not that we can't win without him. I mean, we have, but it's more like, who knows when they pulled the plug on him. And he's never quite come back to his form since his ankle thing. Like he struggled, you know, I saw him make a three in that last, I don't know if it was the, no, it was the one I went to with Joe Mitchell, which game?
Easton game where he had the three.
Yeah.
And, you know, Drew was all excited for him. And then he had a three in the Dayton game. And you thought, now it's coming. And it never seemed to get out of second gear.
Yeah, so it's just tough. It's tough when you have a player like that who obviously has a high ceiling. His defense is great. And then, you know, he's one of these guys who can really hurt you from different parts of the court in terms of, you know, he had a nice mid-range in one of the games. And so you just like feel like, man, if he's healthy, that's another guy that potentially helps us. And you know, we were talking about this before we recorded, you know, you mentioned the stat about Braden Norris 0-for-1. The stat there is not the miss, the stat there is the one.
Yeah, that's also true.
Whereas when I look at Daryl Banks the third, 12-for-12, I mean, there were 12, not one, 12.
I mean, he had 2 3-point fouled on a 3-point shot and made all 6 free throws.
Yeah. So, and this is the thing we've seen with all these guys with numbers after their names, you know, Ronald Polite,
Bishop the fourth.
I mean, we've seen with all these guys, if you look at our games against them, you're going to see them on the line. Why? Because they draw fouls. A-10 guards draw fouls. Yeah. And Braden has played great this year. He has, I feel like he's really just played at a high level. He's the floor general, heart of the team, the whole deal. But the one thing that is the knock against him, that other A-10 guards have an advantage of, is they're getting more fouls. They're creating more contact and getting more fouls. And so when we start looking at the future, if we're going to stay in this league, which we're not going anywhere, we have to get guards who get to the line. Because and this game right here is a good example of they, if you look at their numbers, they shot 36%, the St. Bonnie's, for the whole game. We shot 33%. That's pretty close.
Right.
So what is the difference?
Okay, let me comparison of two players in particular. Dez Watson, who's a shooting guard, so a little different player. Same amount of minutes as Braden, relatively, but took 50 more free throws. They're different players. Okay, Jalen Quinn, who is a point guard, very similar to Braden, played in only, 500 minutes, so half as much as Braden, but took 50 foul shots. Braden took 59 all season. So Jalen, in half the amount of minutes as Braden, took almost as many free throws. And so it's just like, I've always said this, is like, I want to
two be Ramblers, bum, bum, bum. We've got the stats. I didn't have time to make that sample, but I was thinking about that the other day. Two Ramblers, bum, bum, bum. We've got the stats.
But that just really speaks to the fact that it was like, I think it's not a flaw in his game. It's just the way the game is played out. But it's like, he doesn't get to the line. And it's not like, I'm sure he would like to get to the line, but just the way the offense flows, you know? And so it's like, I think if he were to take 100 foul shots a season and he's making 85 of them, 90 of them, that it would change the dynamic of the team.
Well, and it's not so much, it's not about him so much. It's about, this is what success looks like in the A-10 is guys getting to the line. That's part of the game.
Yeah. If you look at all of the point guards, you know, of the A-10 first team, second team, third team, they all shot an enormous amount of free throws. And so, yeah,
And one other thing that I saw someone on Twitter mention, I don't know who it was, so I can't name drop you, but he just mentioned too, when you look at Dame and you look at Phil, they're slightly undersized. They're just, you know, an inch or two shorter than some of these guys who they're guarding or some of these guys who they're playing against. And in a game like this, there were probably a few of those Dame shots where if we're playing a Bradley team or if we're playing a more of an undersized team, Dame has their way with them. In this game, he goes 4-for-12. And it's because he's adjusting some of his shots. He's not getting that position that he's used to at different points. And so his Dartmouth, Ivy League rope-a-dope. Yeah, that stuff works great against Cornell. It works great against Yale. It doesn't work as well against St. Bonaventure, which has a couple of big dudes that they're swapping in and out the whole game.
Yeah. Or even when the game really struggled, or you could tell even in the, when they played at Bonaventure, he really struggled against Venning and Brown. But there was some success when Bonaventure went to the smaller lineup when Venning and Brown were both out. But then it kind of changed the dynamic of the game. And so,
yeah, I mean, hats off to the Bonnies. I mean, they grinded out that one, and then they disappeared the next night. So it was.
Yeah, my favorite tweet of the weekend was Daryl Banks against the Ramblers hits them all, but against everyone else in the A-10 looks like Cream Biggins, you know, hitting brick after brick. I thought that was.
Yeah.
That was a funny tweet.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so.
But now we're on to NIT, and 5 wins gets you a banner or another championship ring. And I really like the bracket they're in. Let me pull it up.
San Francisco and Cincinnati. Is that the two or?
Yes. We play Bradley. We win that. Then we would play the winner of San Francisco, Cincinnati.
And if San Francisco wins, is that a Gentile home game? I think
maybe.
Think it might be.
I think so.
I think it might be.
They would be the higher seed because 3 would play. I would think so. Dons.
Go Dons. Is it Dons?
It is the Dons. Yes.
Okay. Go. Or it's not the Doms, right?
The Dons. D-O-N.
Yeah. Go Dons.
Yeah. Go Dons. And then the
you know who a Don was? You know, famous Don.
The guy that played for the Celtics. Bill Russell. Bill Russell.
How about another Bill, who played for the Dons?
Well, I don't know who played for the
Bill Cartwright. Bill Cartwright, didn't he play?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I think he was right. I think he was right.
No, he wasn't right after. He played for.
Yeah, he played. Why don't you look? I'll look that up.
Uh-oh, you're freezing.
I think you might. Why am I freezing some?
I don't know. You're.
You know, oh, you know what? Because.
What are you downloading? Some legal Bluey videos? Illegal Bluey videos?
No, I'm just looking at Bill Cartwright. I think because. Julie is on a call as well. So, I just had it. And we're looking. Yep. San Francisco, 75-79. There you go. All right. I did not know. I totally forgot about Bill Cartwright. But back to the bracket, in our bracket, we could potentially face Indiana State or maybe a Butler that could come out of our region. So we'd face them, though, in the what would be the quarterfinals. And I believe the quarterfinals take place at Hinkle Fieldhouse. Yep, Hinkle Fieldhouse, April 2nd.
I thought the finals were there. Aren't the finals?
I'm looking at the bracket right now. I think once you win the first 2 games, you then go to Hinkle. The quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals are at Hinkle.
Yeah, that would be fun. That'd be a fun road trip.
So.
And I heard the tickets go on sale tonight. This is Monday when we're recording this for the Bradley game.
Yes.
I think the season ticket holders get access at 7 and then the general public is like 7:30. So I don't know if I'm going, it's kind of up in the air. I don't know if I can swing it, but it'll be interesting. That could be a really fun road trip. It could be misery if something happens in Bradley. But I'm thinking it's going to be good, though. I think 2 years.
I think it's going to be good.
2 years balling in the A-10 has gotta help us.
Yes. You know, they have one guy that is still left over from when we played them. The Malivi Leons was their big forward guy. He's their top rebounder, but you know their top assist guy is 3.9. So,
I'm going to call it right here. I'm going to call it right here, Coach Drew. When you're making that lineup, you know, put Tom Welch in at the center. He Remember that dunk that he had?
Yes. Bradley?
The one where he got the tee for just celebrating?
Pounded on the head, yep.
The only other thing I was worried about with this game, and you probably don't have an answer to this, are we gonna get Valley refs? Because that could be painful. I hope they get a ref crew from somewhere else.
I don't. Yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know. I gotta think it's gonna be. I mean, I think someone from the Midwest, but I don't think it'd be Valley. Because you don't know, it would not be, because it'd be NCAA refs. You're not going to have someone who is a conference ref of the conference that the team. So okay. I could see somebody from like maybe the Ohio Valley or.
Okay. I just hope that we don't get down there and it's like from Iowa. It's a 3-man team that hates defense.
Yes.
Braden Norris has his fourth foul. You know, it's the first half. What?
Right. Yeah. But I'm looking over Bradley's, you know, schedule, and yeah, they lost to Drake at the end of the season. Yeah, they beat up on Missouri State and UIC and Southern. They lost to Evansville. That was a big loss. And then, yeah, they did not do well against the other, you know, the Indiana State Drakes. So,
well, guys, two Rambler podcast listeners, the silver lining to the NIT bid is at least one more Two Ramblers podcast this year. So
yes,
so we're dancing. This is postseason podcasting. So
I love it. So, I'm all for it.
So let's gas up the Forerunner. Get ready for maybe a trip
down
Peoria. And I think it's in a
highlight of the morning. I don't know if you were on Twitter this morning, but our good friend Demetria Olsen was like, "Where's Bradley?"
Yeah, love it. It's the best innocent troll of all time. So yeah, love it. Well, for the analyst with the attention to detail, I'm the host with the jokes, Dobber, saying farewell and thanks for listening. And as always, go Ramblers!
Go Ramblers!
Number one in the A-10.
I can hear you!
I can hear you!